You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Monday, March the 3rd of 2025. Beautiful start here in North Central Wisconsin at our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Fair skies. Sun is shining. 32 degrees is the temperature. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up this morning, great way to start off the week, and ready to get things going. As we look outside right now, it looks beautiful. But as we know here in the state of Wisconsin, things can change quickly. And coming up at 8:21, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. She'll talk about some significant snow potentially coming to the area in the next 36 to 48 hours. So we'll get the details from Brittany Merlot coming up in just a few minutes. Then at the bottom of the hour at 8:34, we'll be talking to State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim. She serves over in the Appleton area. Not only is she a brand new state senator, but also somebody that has done wonderful work in that part of the state for a number of years. She's also somebody that is a fellow classmate of mine, graduate of D.C. Everest back in the great year of 1989. So she obviously is doing much, much bigger things than I am. But we're going to talk to State Senator Kristen Alfheim at 8:34, talk a bit about the budget. What can the governor do as, once again, Robin Voss listens to a budget address that is talking about many important issues for the state of Wisconsin. And instead of saying, hey, there's things we can talk about, Robin Voss says dead on arrival. What can folks in Madison on the Democratic side do? We'll talk to Kristen Alfheim about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also coming up, I'll have a recap of a busy high school sports weekend. I was running around all over the place between Friday night and Saturday. Three big games all over. I was in Triple Falls on Friday night. Went to Menominee on Saturday afternoon, then back to Chippewa Falls on Saturday night. So we'll talk about that and some state tournament action we'll have later in the week. And then, as well, it happened after my show ended Friday. But yep. The world kind of focused on what was going on in the Oval Office on Friday morning, late Friday morning. And I have some thoughts on the disgrace. And there's no other word for it, the disgrace that the president and the vice president of the United States was with President Zelensky on Friday. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. So that's all coming up here this morning on 98.9 WXCO. You hear a little bit over there. Ian yep. Welsh, our in-studio engineer, and I should mention as well, our final segment of the day, our daily history lesson. We'll talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, some celebrity birthdays, some reasons to acknowledge today. And then we will end things with our number for the day quiz. And
start of a new week.
You are red hot. You went four in a row to end the week.
Yeah, by the end of last week, four in a row, getting four out of five. It was definitely a positive a comeback from the last 3 weeks, only getting one out of five.
And
so if I can continue that.
What's your dad call it? Chance for an Ian Slam?
Ian Slam.
Yep. Wrap around five in a row.
Oh.
But we'll do that coming up a little bit later on. And also we'll talk about, because I know you had a busy weekend as well. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. But this morning, visitor here. And I thought, hey, doggone it. You know, Cornell Hausler. Put that microphone a little closer to you, Cornell.
Yeah, I came in today.
Yeah, because you listen to the program. Yeah. You live up in Merrill.
Yeah, right.
You are a guy that is politically active.
Yep, yeah, right.
You are somebody that has, and we talked to folks from the parties, especially Nancy Stensel from the Marathon County Democratic Party, about the importance of going out there and working. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, really quickly, before I actually let you talk a little bit.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking about that. I may have mentioned it as well last week, that you look at what democracy is all about. It's not about a man from South Africa who made all of his money in a family of apartheid lovers coming to this country and putting in millions of dollars first to elect a president and now trying to come into this state and elect a state Supreme Court justice. No, democracy in this state, in this area, in this country is about people who go to their neighbors, talk about the issues, and go to the polls. Not just fly in, drop a big bag of money, and try to affect elections. I think you're somebody like that. And I wanted to just say thank you. And tell me a little bit about your background, because you're somebody that's reached out to me quite a bit to try to keep me up to speed on things I should be thinking about and knowing. Tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been in our area, and maybe your life story here.
Well, it's like I can say, I've been here all my life. I got connected up here in Wisconsin. My godparents and my godfather and godmother were resort owners from Switzerland, and that's how I got connected, and I spent my summers up there growing up, and I was sort of, I was raised down in Des Plaines. My father was, he fought in World War II at the Battle of Bulge, and he was a police officer, and a proud police officer that patrolled in his Harley, and he was very proud to do that, and we were just middle class, and this was down in Des Plaines, and we loved coming up here and spent the summers with my godparents up in Eagle River. They had a very large resort. And it's just a wonderful place, Wisconsin, and I don't know if I should tell you anymore. I'm so upset with what has happened in the Oval Office. There was only one president present there, and that's President Zelensky, and it's just quite upsetting. And well, to fast forward, that I joined the military because I was going to be drafted. That was back in 1970, and they said, you're going to go into the Army, you know, and I chose the Navy. So I did 4 years in the Navy. That was 1970-74. I was very proud to serve. And what I'm really upset with is 50,000 men died. They're on the wall in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were forced to go, and people went. And my classmates are on the wall. And they said—
Real fast, that's basically the last draft in American history at this
right,
point.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
people forget now that those that are growing up now, we have a completely volunteer army that started in the 70s, and you're part of the last generation that conscription.
Well, they tagged me. I'm a Vietnam-era military person. Mm-hmm. I don't like that because I didn't go.
Right.
But my friends died and go over there and wipe out communism.
Right.
You know, we have to go over there. You don't even know the people. You know, it's a really shame with wars. You know, the government's orders you to go, and you don't know who you're killing or what you're doing. And my classmates are on that wall, and now we have a president that has sided with Russia, China, and North Korea. It's a sad day in the history of the United States. It is because we are not the leader of the free world anymore. And Britain and Europe are going to step up because this administration does not accept that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Which is, I mean,
it's horrible.
It is.
It's also
blind because, and you obviously know as well as anybody about the geopolitical aspects, yes, because of the whole idea, yeah, of where you started during the Vietnam era. You look at what this world has been since the end of World War II with NATO and the Western Alliance.
To wipe out Nazis.
And the whole thing about it, though, is as well, you got to think about maybe, I don't know if they'd be intended consequences, because you don't know with this administration, or unintended consequences when it comes to if everybody thinks they're on their own, they're all going to try to get nuclear weapons. They're all going to try to be able to win a war on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the domino theory of Southeast Asia, which was they talked about back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Mm-hmm. There'll be a domino theory here where everybody is going to have mutually assured destruction, and as opposed to the current alliances that have kept us, this world, mm-hmm, from having a World War III. And I don't think that people around the orbit of Donald J. Trump seem to understand that.
Yeah.
But we got about a minute and a half before we have to take a break. What is it that has you, and what do you think that average Central Wisconsin residents should be thinking about and doing right now?
Well, you mentioned that Musk has the big money. Well, the big money has put administration in the White House that is supporting the communist, and that's Putin. That's China. That's North Korea. I want to explain to you what communism means. You got Putin, you got Xi, you got the North Korean. They put a shield around themselves. And anybody that is threatened by them, they're exterminated. Mm-hmm. That's communism. They have killed hundreds of people that have threatened them, the leaders around them. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
well, Mr. Putin obviously has killed political opponents. When he's felt threatened, what has he done?
Well, the one that I think his name, I don't get his name straight, but he just passed away a year ago, and he was thrown, you know, he was a threat to him, and he was thrown in prison, and a year ago he died.
And he got poisoned.
Yeah, well, he died in prison.
Right, but he was poisoned.
Yeah, he was poisoned. Yep.
We have to take a time out. Coming up next, we'll have Brittany Merlot join us. 8:19 is the time here on 98.9 WX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22 here on this Monday morning, and again, just looking outside, it is a gorgeous start here to the new work week. Lots of sunshine, temperatures around the freezing mark, and again, as you look outside, you're thinking, boy, there's no reason to worry about winter-like weather or anything like that, but soon enough, we will have to be thinking about winter-like weather, because as we heard last week, we kind of touched on it a little bit last week, the potential of some snow. We're going to be keeping an eye on it, we said last week, with Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, who joined us now, and now we're closer and closer, and Brittany, we have a little bit more information to talk about when it comes to the weather, don't we?
Yes, we do. So I have been watching this bad boy storm brew in our model forecasts for about a week or two now. And I was like, there's no way it's really going to materialize and really dump that much. And we'll just see what happens as it gets closer. Well, here we are. It's sitting on our back doorstep and it still wants to pack quite a punch, especially for northwestern parts of the state. So winter storm watches have already gone out. It does not include Marathon County. We are right on that edge of the winter storm watch. But that doesn't mean that we're in the clear, because this system is still trying to pinpoint exactly where it wants to dump the heaviest snowfall. So we're talking anywhere from about 5 to 9 inches for a good chunk of the winter storm watch area. But just outside of that here for us, I mean, we should probably expect a good 3 to 5, but it's going to come in some crazy form. So here's what's happening right now. Calm before the storm. It is gorgeous out there, not a cloud in the sky. But by the afternoon, we're going to see more and more clouds starting to filter in. They'll start to thicken. A few spotty sprinkles are possible later this afternoon and into the evening. Then tomorrow morning, some scattered showers on and off, not too heavy. But by the afternoon tomorrow and into the evening, this system is going to be dumping quite a bit of rain, where I'm talking around 3/4 of an inch to maybe 1 inch of rainfall. This is tomorrow night into the overnight. Then by Wednesday morning, this is when things get really hazardous. It's going to be flipping from that heavy rain quickly over to a wintry mix and then to snow that will be accumulating. So this means there'll probably be a layer of ice underneath, then the snow on top of it, and it's going to be the heavy, wet, slushy, sloppy type of snow that's heavier and harder to shovel. It's not that light, fluffy kind that we're used to getting with the cold temperatures, because these temperatures are going to be right at that freezing mark, putting a lot of moisture into the snowfall. So heavy snow, wet snow, a lot of it right away, right in the morning on Wednesday, and it's going to be windy. We're talking about gusts 40 to 50 miles per hour. So this is going to bring blizzard-like conditions, whiteouts where you can't really see. Wednesday is going to be really, really rough, honestly. So plan ahead for that one. But it does kick on out of here by the afternoon. It eases up, calms down at night, and then it's gone for Thursday. And for the rest of the week, we're looking at a ton of sunshine, and the sunshine continues into the weekend as well. But temperatures do kind of flirt with the freezing mark Thursday and Friday. So it's not like we're getting a major warm-up that'll melt it all right away. So we are going to have to shovel a little bit of it.
And you said that right now the winter storm watch is basically west and north of where we are, just outside Marathon County. It sounds like, based on what you say, that that could change, that we could see that expanded, and that often at this point we're still, what, about, you know, a little bit 36 to 48 hours away from the real start of this storm, that just because we're not in it right now for the winter storm watch, that does not mean that we're not going to be part of it when all is said and done.
Exactly, exactly. So I would definitely stay on high alert in Marathon County. I definitely am, because right now some of these model runs are putting 6 inches right here into the Wausau area in central Wisconsin. So again, right on that line, get ready for it, be prepared for it. But hey, I guess be happy if we only get an inch or two, right?
I know, right? I know. But it's possible we could get less. I mean, as you said, right now, because I heard you talking earlier this morning, that here in the Wausau area, we're kind of on that line where it could move a little bit one way or the other, and that could really affect the snow in a rather significant way.
Absolutely. I mean, it really depends on when it flips. If we're going to get flipped over to the colder temperatures bringing that snowfall earlier in the morning, then we're going to be on that higher end of totals. If it takes until 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning to flip over, then you probably expect us to be on the lower end of those totals. So it's all on those temperatures. It's all exactly how this system times out over us. It's interesting. Keeps me on my toes, that's for sure.
And we know that you enjoy that. You enjoy to be being on top of it, and we enjoy having you be on top of it. What are the details here? I guess the point is, enjoy this morning.
It's really nice this morning.
But what are the details here for the next couple of days?
Very nice and mild today. High temperatures will still reach the upper 40s. We're still on that nice climb, gorgeous morning. A little damp, a little dreary by this afternoon and evening with a few sprinkles. We will stay above freezing overnight as that rain starts to move in, scattered showers in the morning. Tomorrow's highs will be in the mid-40s. Then that rain ramps up overnight into the morning. It flips over to that mix into some snow. Wednesday, very, very windy. Then we get the cold crash, right? So highs on Thursday, only in the mid-30s. Ton of sunshine. We hold that for Friday. And then the weekend, We're actually going to be in the upper 30s on Saturday and low 40s on Sunday. So a ton of sunshine out there afterwards.
So very quickly that snow will start to melt.
Yeah, it will.
It's not sticking around very for very long, but it could lead to a very hairy Tuesday night into Wednesday, especially on Wednesday. But obviously, you're going to keep right on top of it, you and the rest of our Civic Media weather team. And, of course, we'll be talking to you tomorrow morning with further information.
Absolutely. Hopefully, we're on the lower end, right? That's what we're hoping for.
Brittany, thanks again for all the info. Have yourself a great Monday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good. Bye.
That's our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, joins us every weekday morning here on 98.9 WXCO. Again, right now, just a beautiful start here. Again, it's not going to hang around that long, but right now, fair skies and 32 degrees. Winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles per hour. Wind chill factor of 26. The dew point is 12. Relative humidity of 43%. The barometer at 29.92 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's going on in Madison. Of course, recently we had the governor give his state of the state and also budget address. The budget process is going to be going into full swing over the next couple of months. And we're going to talk about what's happening with State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim. She is coming up after an information update. News, weather, and sports is straight ahead. The time is 8:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34, 32 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Great start here on this Monday morning. And very happy to welcome back to our program State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim. She serves the Appleton Area State Senate District Number 18. And Senator Kristen, welcome back. Kristen, can you hear me? I see Kristen, but Kristen, can you hear me? It appears that Kristen, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Oh, never mind technology. Here I am.
I was panicking. Don't scare me like that. It's Monday. I can't take that. But
it's not my first rodeo, but apparently it is with my earbuds today.
Hey, but it's good to have you back on the program, and good morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure.
Oh, man. It feels like, and I don't know for you, because you took your oath of office in early January, and now we're in early March. And I got to say, the last 2 months have felt like it's been 2 years. I wanted to ask you before we get into some of these issues. You've been, you know, in your new job for a couple of months now. Has anything surprised you at this point?
Yeah. Lots has surprised me. One, I think, and I try to be a student of what's going on. And I think the biggest thing I learned is as much as you think you know, you don't. There's so much more to every topic that's out there. You know, again, beyond the media point, beyond the surface education, there's so much more. And then again, probably the most astounding thing is how, you know, democracy isn't broken. It's just there are a couple of knobs that have been turned to not allow it to happen. And that's the most frustrating and astounding thing to me.
Before we actually talk about the governor's budget address and now the future here for the next number of months, what has it been that you've been focused on the most in the last 2 months in your new job?
Well, listening. Listening, I think, is our number one job, making sure that we're hearing thoughts and concerns from all sides. There's a constant flow of people making sure that we have all of the information. And I think there are some legitimate concerns out there in terms of how are we actually going to address the baseline problems that we have instead of chasing around the symptoms. And that's kind of the main thing. There are definitely issues that we have around the systems of housing and healthcare and childcare and education. And these are base root issues that we must start to address. And again, the Band-Aids have been referendum. The Band-Aids are all over the place. But until we actually deal with the core issues, we're never going to get forward.
You just listed a number of issues, and that's one of the, I think, of the frustrating aspects for so many people. When you get a budget address, you get a state of the state address already in the last couple of months, and this is the fourth time that Governor Evers has made a budget address, fourth time he's going through the budget process. And I think there's one thing that the old adage, death and taxes, death, taxes, and Robin Voss announcing a Evers budget dead on arrival. I think those are things we can all sort of come to expect. Can the governor, in the last three times, the governor ultimately assigned Republican budgets and then using his line item veto pen to try to make sure he gets some of those priorities in. Do you think that the governor now, with maybe a closer balance in both the state Senate and the state assembly, can be a little more aggressive in this process to try to get some of these major issues addressed in this budget cycle?
Well, I think, again, the way that the assembly is set up and the Senate is set up, the majority has a lot of power. The JFC is clearly, a 12-4 combination. So the power is still in the hands of the legislature. In my opinion, the question is, are our Republican friends willing to start working together by turning off those knobs that they have chosen to use? In a perfect world, a budget would be sent out there. The majority would take it and remove the things that they don't want or start to negotiate on the things that they would like to see in. That's how it's supposed to work. That's not the way it works. Instead, they choose to just throw it away and come up with their own plan and, in essence, try to force through everything that they want without giving up anything, which then leads to a veto pen in the state house. That's not really the way it should work. And the pressure is not on Tony. The pressure is on the legislature, specifically the majority, to choose to work together towards finding compromise within that budget. It is what the bulk of the people want, and yet they choose not to do that. So I was hoping, with a more balanced legislature that we have today because of our maps, I was hoping that they would be coming to the table a little bit more willing to say, all right, let's work things through, because it would make them look better. And as up till now, that's not been the case. But I'm still hopeful. Again, my job is to create relationships, create a willing, participative air that people know on both sides that I am absolutely willing to listen and to be pragmatic about answers. This is not an all or nothing state. A budget is not an all or nothing, nor should it be GOP all or nothing in their side. Again, all the public wants us to do is go back to working together to find compromises for moving forward. We have the ability to do that. We have a willingness to do that on the minority side. The leadership of the majority has to have a willingness and, again, change their own inset rules to allow this to take place.
You talked about relationships, and I mentioned the name Robin Voss, but there's a man that leads the Republicans on the Senate side where you are currently serving, named Devin Lemahue. What's your relationship with him? How well do you know him? What's the process like in the state Senate? Maybe that is a little different than maybe what we hear about over on the assembly side.
Yeah, a relationship building is the deal. I do not know the leader. He's been, I'm sure, busy meeting with people that are on the committees that he's involved with, including JFC. My committees are insurance and housing and rural issues and forestry, financial institutions, and sporting heritage. So the bulk of my meetings are with those Republicans that are in the committees that I would share on. And that's kind of where we're at right now. There's a lot going. But what I will say is the past rule from the Senate majority has been the rule of 17. Which means if they do not have 17 votes on their own side, they will not bring it to the floor for a vote. That's the part that irritates me, and those are leadership rules. We should not have to have unanimous consent to pass something that 80% of the body agrees on. There's a lot of bills out there that right, left, House and Senate all agree. 80% of us want to pass some legislation. And because of the rule of 17, if there's one person on the Republican side that stands off and doesn't want to vote for it, it therefore will not come to the floor for the rest of us to vote. That's anti-democratic. That is what's broken. The system isn't broken, but the rules that are in play by the majority are.
Again, we're talking to 18th State Senate District State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim here on 98.9 WXCO. You mentioned one of your committees deals with housing. And frankly, personally, I think that is one of the incredibly vital issues that is facing not just this area, not just this state, but this country as a whole. What are you finding out in your work so far that what do you think is possible? What can be done within your realm of government that can try to help what is just an incredibly difficult issue right now? And it's not just something that you can fix. It's probably not something that the local authorities can fix around here. It's a very difficult issue. What are you finding out with when it comes to housing?
It is a difficult issue. And I think the first challenge in all of these major topics is to realize that it affects far more people than you think. This is a middle America problem as well as a low income. When we say affordable housing, that is affecting a large swath of who we are as a society today. So we definitely have an inventory issue. There are some things that we can do legislatively in rules and municipalities to make it easier and more attractive to have the size and the flavor of housing that we need and want built. In our world, the levers that we have in government tend to have to do with subsidies and reduction in rules, different things that we can allow the flow of housing to happen more specifically. In our communities, municipalities, there's a rule that one Republican senator, was he in the Senate or the House? He was in the Senate. He insisted that we not allow WIDA, which I'm on the board. WIDA has a wonderful program. There was $500 million put into a WIDA fund in last session to help us with affordable housing in these municipalities. But one senator on the Republican side chose to keep a rule in there that said you can't balance the WIDA dollars and PIF districts. Well, one senator put that in there. And it's stifled. We only ended up using $16 million out of $500 million that we were ready to use. So that's an example of something that has stood in the way of progress, that those little, you know, twists of the rules. That individual is now gone. So we should be able to remove that stipulation. And again, we need density in our municipalities, density. Then we also need to look at those houses. There's nobody building a $100,000, $150,000 house anymore. Because from a developer standpoint, it's just more profitable to build bigger ones. So we have to help developers want to build the inventory that we need. And that will take a little bit of investment on our part to say, hey, build us these houses. Build us these $150,000 starter homes, retirement homes. They don't all have to be $650,000 houses. We are missing the middle market of affordable housing. And the only way to fix that and to bring prices down on the overall inventory is to add more inventory in.
Let me ask you maybe a little bit of a different kind of question. We heard what the governor has talked about. We hear often about what the Republicans are talking about. Is there something that, whether it's the Republicans or even the governor, that they're not talking about that you, maybe in your part of the state, hear about from constituents or yourself just in some way of experience that we need to talk about? Because sometimes it's always based on a party line. Is there an issue that personally that you want to try to be a voice for, either for your constituents or for yourself, that maybe neither side is talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've been pretty consistent in my message that I want to be able to speak to and hear all people. Right. I want to get past the idea of if you're on this side or this side, then you're the opposite mindset. That's not true. There's a tremendous amount of shared needs in the center that we don't end up talking about because we're so busy talking about the extreme edges. And that's in some ways done on purpose to distract us from the main issues. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is point out in a rational way, without truly trying to be overly political, that the system is not allowing us to do what the public wants. I spoke at a very conservative legislative breakfast a few weekends ago. And again, Tea Party level conservatives. And I showed up because I said I would. And respectfully, I listened. They were very kind, by the way. I listened. And in their bullet points, four of the questions that they had for the forum, which was four Republican legislatures and myself, two of the four questions I could agree with them on. because the extreme right is mad that these bills aren't getting a hearing, the bills that they want. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the bills they want, but I agree with the fact that there should be an opportunity to have it heard by the entire body and then adjustments made or not, and a pass or a fail. I believe in, if you go to local politics, you go to your city council, you know how politics is supposed to work. A bill is brought forward, it's an idea. It's bantered around and massaged. Then the recommendation is made to pass or deny. Then the council has a full conversation. Public input takes place at multiple stages. That is democracy. And what's not that's what's not happening in Madison right now. And that is something that all of us should be irritated with, no matter what your stance. And until we fix that, until we believe in getting back to the basics of democracy, where ideas are chewed around on both sides and compromises the end result, until we get back to that, we will be in this fate of one side versus the other.
The battle of ideas, basically the foundational pieces of our democracy. And I know that I love the fact you threw in the term rational. going back to all day long.
Pragmatic, rational. Come on, we can do this. It's not that hard, but we have to be willing to. And that's what we need to ask our legislatures to be sure they are.
18th Senate District Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, hey, thank you again for spending a few minutes with us. So we'll get you back on as this process continues. And best of luck in your work.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The time is 8:49. We're going to take a quick timeout and be right back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, great to have Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim joining us. Somebody that's a native here of North Central Wisconsin. I went to school with her back in the day, and she has been living over in the eastern part of the state for many years, working in local politics and in business over there, and then was elected to the state Senate in the last election after the redistricting. The fair maps were put in, and it did make a difference, and now a closer, not where we would like to be, but a closer breakdown between the Republicans and the Democrats in the state capitol, both on the Assembly side and the Senate side. So again, thanks to Senator Dassler for joining us here this morning. And still sitting across, Cornell Hausler. And Cornell, again, great to have you come by and to say hello. And a few more minutes here. And you came in here and you got so many things on your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so much going on, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really?
And you mentioned, and again, just if you missed earlier, Cornell, pretty much a lifetime resident of our area.
Right, correct. Yep.
And served back in the Vietnam era in the
70s. Correct, yep.
And you actually brought in a print sheet here for me. And so disturbed about, well, you know, you're connecting here this election we have coming up on April 1st. We have a vital election for the state Supreme Court, and you're connecting it, Brad Schimmel, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and these heroes.
Being that my father was a police officer, it's not an easy job, you know, doing being a police officer. And I'm quite upset with what Trump's action was to pardon these 1,600 criminals. I mean, this was a brutal insurrection, just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we need a person on the courts that, with these, he approved that Trump pardoned these 1,600 criminals, and I am quite very upset that five officers died due to the insurrection. One had his head bashed in, a veteran, Sesenik, and the other four committed suicide. Right. They're so traumatized by the actions of Trump that they committed suicide. That is just the sad state of affairs. And I don't think we need a person that is endorsed by Donald Trump that he pardoned these 1,600 criminals. And it's just deplorable.
Well, let me add, Schimmel has said, there are many folks over the years that have not been treated fairly by the courts. But the idea that the folks that were barging into the United States Capitol on January the 6th were among that group is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And Brad Schimmel has said he doesn't think that they were treated fairly, which is just, we all saw what happened. Yeah. And the idea that these folks who were tried in front of a jury of their peers were convicted. Mm-hmm. And the idea that Brad Schimmel, who wants to be a justice Terrible. On the state Supreme Court, says that they were treated unfairly is wrong on every level. Yeah. And that's why, and again, there's so many different areas that this election on April the 1st have a massive effect on. Okay. I mean, I just mentioned the fact that we have now more fair maps. I would still argue that they're not exactly fair maps, but they're better maps than they were prior to the change in the state Supreme Court. But if Brad Schimmel goes in, they could go right back to the Republican-drawn maps. Mm-hmm. And we can go back to a 50-50 state going back to a 67-33 split in the state assembly and the state senate. There's a mm-hmm. and that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the issues that are on the ballot coming up April 1st.
Okay, I just wanted to say, give you an example. This happened down south. What do you tell the children that the judge cannot let the doctor give the mother an emergency abortion, and the mother dies? So what do you tell their children? This has happened down in the red states down south. It's just tragic. There are so many complications when you have a baby. Some women now, they're afraid to have children because you have to have that emergency set up there, you know.
And like, Brad Schimmel doesn't care.
No, it's just a tragedy that these women are dying because the judge will not allow the doctor to give the mother an emergency abortion. So what do you tell their children? It's just horrible.
Well, and it comes down to the bottom line, and something we're kind of talking about off air is spring elections. Many people don't vote. People need to realize they need to get out in 4 weeks' time and vote, because
right.
part of the responsibility of a democracy
right.
is to get out and vote.
Yeah.
You're doing other things. You're speaking out.
Right.
But everybody, the basic is get out and vote, mm-hmm. because if 25% of the folks go out on April the 1st and vote, there's something wrong,
right.
you know, bottom line.
Well, people have died all over the world to fight for to vote. All over the world, they're dying.
You mentioned the number there on that wall in Washington.
Well, it's just deplorable that Trump is now in bed with Putin, the 50,000 we were ordered to go and kill the communist. And it's deplorable that... I'm thankful I made it out alive, but and my father, now he fought at the Battle of the Bulge, the Nazis, and now Vance and Hedseth went to the German so-called Nazi fascist party.
Cornell, we have to stop right there because we have a hard break here.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in and talking about with us. We're going to be right back after an information update, WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.